Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for our Monday morning appointment with the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. And this morning, things to remember when you sit down at Thanksgiving dinner, or things to forget, maybe. I don't know. What do we need to know, Doc?
Bob, you know, Thanksgiving's a great time. You know, there's a lot that we need to think about. It's the opportunity to give thanks, obviously, be around friends and family. But we also have to look at what we're eating and just make sure we understand about the diseases that are going around right now. But really, it comes down to how do you prepare the food that still tastes good, but is in the right content for fat and sodium and calories. And it's more about what you eat and how you prepare it. We don't want to ruin the meal, but certainly want everyone to go in with their eyes open as far as what's going to happen that day.
There are a few things on your list, like mashed potatoes and gravy and stuffing, that appear to be the worst offenders. And then you've got your traditional green bean casserole that has almost 2,000 calories as well. And you can't really avoid that, right?
No. Yeah, I mean, you could, right? The green bean casserole. Green beans are great, you know, high in fiber, high in iron, really a good, you know, vegetable. But then we take this salt-laden, preservative-laden soup and lay it on top of it and then put fried onions on top of it, expect it to be considered healthy. And that's where we actually lose it. The green beans themselves have very low calories, very low, you know, fat, if any. But it's certainly everything we put and how we prepare it. Same with sweet potatoes. You know, everybody loves, you know, good sweet potato, which is super high in vitamin C, super high in fiber. But then we lay brown sugar and marshmallows on it, and it's like, wow, I can't believe this isn't a health food anymore.
What about before you even get to your Thanksgiving get-together, having a lot of water, maybe some exercise, some things that maybe suppress your appetite ahead of time? What about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, drinking water along with the meal will certainly help you do that. And exercise prior and exercise after is probably just as important, because regardless of what everybody thinks, they say, I'm going to be as good as I can and take small, you're going to eat more at this meal than you do at most meals. So getting up and moving around afterwards will at least help your digestion. But certainly, like you said, even before you sit down at the table, be careful just with the appetizers alone, because you can almost run up your daily total just on appetizers, depending on how much you like those very tasty little things.
Is it a fallacy that the tryptophan or whatever it is in turkey makes you sleepy? Is it that, or just eating so much?
Well, you know, it's a great point. You know, is it the amount of food that makes us drowsy, or is it the tryptophan in the turkey that makes us drowsy? Now, we certainly know that tryptophan in the turkey will make you drowsy, and there's a high concentration of it. But I think it's a combination of just the entire day of sitting and eating and eating and talking, and then it's like, wow, now I'm just going to sit and just try to relax here, and you do get drowsy. So it's probably a combo. We could do a study. How about if you just eat turkey slices and don't have anything else, and we'll eat our regular, and then we'll talk next Monday and see if you got drowsy.
Okay. Anybody around here want to experiment and then
report?
No one's
signing up for that, I bet.
Of course, by the time you get to the dessert, pecan pie, pumpkin pie, whatever, that's your killer, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, you can just a nice slice of pumpkin pie, you know, pecan pie, you can get 400 calories out of that alone. And you have to remember that the average person needs anywhere from, you know, 2,000, maybe 2,500 calories. If you're 16 years old, okay, 3,000 calories. But if you're getting 400 calories just from that slice of pie, and we have to remember that people eat at least two meals on Thanksgiving. They're going to eat something either before, or if they have an early Thanksgiving, they're going to eat something after often. It is amazing how many calories we actually take in that day.
It's our Monday morning visit with Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most. I want to talk a little bit about nitrates and nitrites. First of all, what are they, doctor?
Actually, Bob, this is a really good story. It's almost like a tale of two cities. One is good, one is bad. And not the nitrate versus the nitrite. It's how we eat them and how we process them. So these are naturally found chemicals that are found in many vegetables. They're found in spinach, kale, Dave Bennett's favorite, beet, celery, and in that natural form, before we do anything to them, they're great. They dilate blood vessels. They help us increase our blood flow. They decrease blood pressure. They're really heart healthy. And actually, they also protect our stomach against some bacteria. So overall, the natural forms of nitrates and nitrites are actually good.
Now, I've always heard that, and I'm not sure I know the difference between the two, but I've always associated, and now I don't know whether it's nitrates or nitrites I'm talking about, but, you know, your processed meats, your luncheon meats, things like that, bad for you.
Exactly. The difference between them, if you're a chemist or if you're studying chemistry right now, is just one additional oxygen. It's nitrogen with three oxygens or nitrogen with two oxygens. And certainly we look at the preservatives, sodium nitrite and potassium nitrate, and those are the ones that we put in processed meats. We put them in cheeses, so they're in bacon and hot dogs and salami, you know, all the ultra-processed foods that are very high in fat and high in sodium have those. And you say, well, why do we add those to them? One, it adds a little bit of flavor. Two, it's a preservative. And three, from a marketing point of view, it actually adds some color to the foods to make them more attractable.
And explain nitric oxide, because as I understand it, that's the good stuff.
Exactly. So if we take in normal nitrates and nitrites in foods, it is moved to nitric oxide. And nitric oxide is actually the good thing, like you said. We know that it does a lot of healthy things, you know, a lot of heart healthy things. That's why those, when taken prior to being processed and prior to being heated, are actually good. Decreases cardiovascular disease, increases sports activity. So, I mean, it really is good. The part that we get into when it's bad is when we take any of these and we heat them. So once we heat them, now they cause a chemical reaction with amino acids that are in the other foods, and that becomes nitrosamine, which is a carcinogen, unfortunately, and increases our risk of cancer. Now, I'm not saying stop eating bacon. You can still do that, but take it in moderation and make sure that you take some of these other foods that are high in nitrates and nitrites in their natural form, in spinach salad or beet salad, or make sure you have celery and carrots, because those will convert into the nitric oxide in our body, which gives us all those cardiovascular benefits.
Okay, so the way my brain works is, my takeaway from this is, next time I have a hot dog, I'm going to have it with some fruits and vegetables, and that'll counteract all the bad stuff in the processed meat. Is that right?
You're getting closer, yeah. You take your hot dog and make it Dave Edit style, where you put kale on top of it.
You know what? I would try.
Wiener circle.
Doc, I would try to do that, but I guarantee you he's not going to go with me on that.
Yeah, probably not. There's a new trend that emerged on TikTok that claims drinking a cup of lettuce water before bed can help you get to sleep faster. Anything to this?
Well, the first thing I would say is anybody who's taking medical information from TikTok needs to have their head examined. But it is interesting. Lettuce has lactucarium in it, which is a chemical that in studies done in, 5-6 years ago, showed that it actually causes drowsiness in mice. So now someone took it and ran with it, and they ran down the wrong, you know, if you hit a fork in the road, which one do you take? Well, they took the wrong one, because what they're showing actually in their TikTok video is not even the lettuce that has the high levels of this. I would say if you watch that TikTok, you're also going to see that they put in peppermint in there, which we know peppermint tea, peppermint oil, those actually do help you sleep. So the study, you know, the TikTok probably got some attention because of the lettuce water part of it. But in fact, if it works at all, it's because of the peppermint.
So better to stick to what? Chamomile tea, magnesium, yep. Lavender maybe?
Exactly. You know, I'm not saying stay away from lettuce. Lettuce is very high in water, high in fiber. It's great for digestion, vitamins A, C, folate. But after you boil that, all those vitamins are gone. Mm-hmm. So you might get this small little piece of chemical, but it's not going to be at a level that's going to make you drowsy. I mean, how many times do you eat your salad and then fall asleep? So,
yeah. Dr. Kevin Most, have a happy, great holiday, and good luck asking your host to make you a green bean casserole with only the green beans.
Well, yeah, I'm smarter than that.
Talk to you next Monday.
Take care.